Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King, the Personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of His non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented His eternal and transcendental form before Brahma, and that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. Purport by His Divine Grace. So translation, purport by His Divine Grace. It's a short purport, so we'll read it all. So Atma Tattva is the science of both God and living entity. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are known as Atma. The Supreme Lord is called Paramatma and the living entity is called the Atma, the Brahma, or the Jiva. Both the Paramatma and the Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Atma. So Sukhdev Goswami explains this verse with the aim of purifying the truth of both the Paramatma and the Jivatma. Generally, people have many wrong conceptions about both of them. The wrong conceptions of Jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul, and the wrong conception of Paramatma is to think him to be on an equal level with the living entity. But both misconceptions can be removed by one stroke of Bhakti Yoga. Just as the sunlight, both the sun and world and everything within the sunlight are properly seen, in the darkness one cannot see the sun nor himself nor the world. But in the sunlight one can see sun, himself and world around. Srila Sukhdev Goswami therefore says that for purification of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented His eternal form before Brahmaji, being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging Bhakti Yoga. Except for Bhakti Yoga, any method for realization of Atma Tattva or the science of Atma will prove deceptive in the long run. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that only by Bhakti Yoga can one know Him perfectly, and then one can enter into the science of God. Brahmaji undertook great penance in performing Bhakti Yoga, and thus he was able to see the transcendental form of the Lord. His transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see Him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya or penance in pure Bhakti Yoga. The form of Lord manifested before Brahma is not one of the forms which we have experienced in the material world. Brahmaji did not perform such severe type of penance just to see a form of material production. Therefore, the question by Maharaj Parikshit about the form of Lord is answered. The form of Lord is Sachid Anand or eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the material form of living being is neither eternal nor full of knowledge nor blissful. That is the distinction between the form of Lord and that of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, however, can regain this form of eternal knowledge and bliss simply by seeing the Lord by means of Bhakti Yoga. The summary is that due to ignorance, the conditioned soul is encaged in the temporary varieties of material forms, but the Supreme Lord has no such temporary form like the conditioned souls. He is always possessed of an eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and that is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. One can understand this difference by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Brahma was then told by Lord the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam in four original verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not a creation of mental speculators. The sound of Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental, and the resonance of Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as that of Vedas. Thus, the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of both Lord and the living entity. Regular reading and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of Bhakti Yoga. One can attain the highest perfection simply by the association of Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Sukhdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtarini Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So in this verse, we've got solution from in trying to get over all the materialistic, the difficulties one feels and the obstructions one has in running with the day-to-day life and how we can overcome them. So to give little brief background, in verses beforehand, and I think Sankirtan Priya Prabhu gave class, and after that Krishna Vinod Prabhu, talking about I-mine mentality, which we all have because of our body and association with this body and the materialistic body. So then here now we've come to this verse where, so in verse 3, we know it's Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj having conversation. And in verse 3, then it states, as soon as the living entity becomes situated in the constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as pure self. And then in this verse, Sukadev Goswami is talking about two misconceptions that we read about. So starting off with Atma. So they said Atma is common to both Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma is also known as Brahma, also known as, like we all are, we got Atma, which is transcendental to the material body. But Paramatma, of course, is the one who has also got, but he is still different to living entity. So they've compared, they've given the wrong conceptions, how when we are in this material body, we actually identify ourselves, or when the material body identifies itself with the pure soul, that's misconception. And then when we think Paramatma is actually on the same level as Jivatma, that is also a misconception. And so Dev Goswami tells us, with the aim of purifying this truth of both Paramatma and Jivatma in this particular text and purport. And they have stated the way that one can actually, they've given two analogies here that we will talk about. And then how the form that we need to be focusing on, and how important is our, it mentions non-deceptive penance of Lord Brahmaji. So that is important. And then the object of is goal for purifying the conditioned soul. So who's going to tell me what does Atma means? Soul? Yes? Soul, okay. And what about tattva? What is the literal translation of that? Okay. Not tattva, the blog by His Holiness Maharaj here. Science is the literal one that it mentions here. So basically, what they, Sukadev Goswami is talking here is about how Lord Brahma, after doing penance of nearly 1,000 years, when he heard tapa tapa and he sat down and he concentrated inside, then, you know, he had revelation. And Lord, being very merciful, gave the darshan of his transcendental form. And it mentions here that one, the non-deceptive, so the intentions of Lord Brahma was to not gain anything materialistic, because why would you do penance for nearly 1,000 years only to get something material which is going to be nashwar or can be destroyed? So we need to learn from that, that when we do, and this is the solution is bhakti yoga, as they say in here, that we've studied in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2 that dharma projita ketavatra parmo nirmat saranam satam. So basically, when there is a cheating religion, that teaches you to remember God for some sort of with some sort of motive. That is not a religion. That is not the true ways of obtaining the lordship. So we need to make sure that we are very clear about our intentions. And I don't know if any of you works in the criminal world, or you hear, like, even when we do, when we hear about the courts and stuff, there is something called mens rea, which is, which talks about, which the judge has to consider when giving sentencing or taking into consideration what punishment this person should have. So mens rea, another word, is intention, or the criminal intent. So similarly, if our intent is going to be that I want to remember Krishna because I want name, fame, or some sort of other materialistic opulences, then, you know, we've lost it. We may get everything that we need, but that's again going to be just pertaining to this jivatma, which is the form that we have at the moment, but it is destructible in the end. Unlike form of Lord Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is Satchid Anand. So here it mentions that 5.1. So here it mentioned therefore the question of Sri Maharaj Parikshit about the form of Lord is answered. The form of Lord is Satchid Anand or eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the material form of living being is neither eternal nor full of knowledge nor bliss. So there is, although there is similarity of Atma, but there is a distinction as well. And it says, states in Brahma Samhita 5.1, Ishvara Param Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karan Karanam. So he is the cause of all causes, and this particular mention of Satchid Anand, these are the three, these are the three qualities in the form of Lord that distinguishes us from him. So this distinction between the Lord's form and us as conditioned soul, how can we overcome it? We can't become Krishna, can we? None of us are Bhagwan. So, but we can actually gain this eternal knowledge and bliss simply by seeing the Lord by means of bhakti yoga. This is where the solution comes in. So the problem, jivatma, paramatma, common. However, the form of Lord, different to conditioned soul. We cannot become this, but in our form, if we actually perform bhakti yoga, then there is a good chance, then there is a possibility that we can, with this science of Atma Tattva, we can actually become, we can actually take on and achieve perfection in this materialistic life, with this materialistic body, whilst we are in this body. So there is another verse which tells us about this science of so it's Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20. It's evam prasanna manaso bhagvad bhakti yogita bhagvad tattva vijnanam. So bhagvad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20 is stating that thus establishing this mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by the contact with devotional service of the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So it is a science. And science is all about theory as well as practical. So if we know the theory that we are not this body, that we should not have this I, me, mine mentality, and that we are going to be one day dying, leaving everything that we work in this material world behind, what should the intelligent people do? That they need to actually also, besides theory, work at the practicalities of things as to how can I follow this process of bhakti yoga. And to follow process of bhakti yoga, and it's very simple. Well, it's simple in the sense that so long we are in touch with Krishna all the time, then we'd be able to see our relationship in terms of Krishna. So there is two analogies here, like Srila Prabhupada's given in the purport. It's about sunlight. So sunlight comes from sun, we all know. But when we are in sunlight, we are able to not only see the sun, which is the source of the sunlight, yes, so as like Krishna and his knowledge compared to that. And not only we can see sun, we can also see ourselves. We can see everything around us. So similarly, when we're in darkness, which is the other analogy they've given, that you can't even see your own self, let alone people around yourself or everything in this world. So what do we need to do is not turn away our face from away from Krishna. Because when we are facing Krishna, or say for example, when you're facing the sunshine or sun, you will not be just concentrating on your shadow. You won't have shadow. But when you turn your face away, you have a shadow. I was listening to a lecture by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and he was just making a simple point that when you turn away you have your back towards sun, you'll see a shadow, which is Maya, which is illusion. So anything that does not involve or is not in relation to Krishna is Maya, even if it's in this world. So what we do need to do is link it up with Krishna. It's the same thing as we can imagine, like we can see about the zero, you know, like if you have one and then you put dot and there's zeros, great. But if there is a point, there's a full stop and there's a zero in front, it doesn't mean anything, you know. But when there is one in front of zero, then only our life would be, fulfilling, and we'd be able to achieve the goal of this life. Because it says in this verse that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. So how do we go to our goal? But first we need to purify the Atma that we have, which is forgotten. And word penance is mentioned here. It's like inflicting, or regret one has for those reasons, to try and make amends. That's penance. Nobody needs to do that, but when you need to achieve great things in life, we all do that, right? If you needed to pass your GCSEs, your other exams, do you have to study? Yes, did you have to take classes? So no gain, no pain. So hence, here, nothing is inflicted on us, but we do it self, like Lord Brahma is in self-inflicted, he's in penance because he regrets, or we regret turning away from Krishna, in other words. So for those reasons, and before we can know our goal, we need to make sure that we actually are facing the sunlight and get rid of our misconceptions, which are mentioned here. And when I Googled it, it said, punishment inflicted on oneself, repentance for wrongdoing. So even in the Christianity, there's like, it mentioned four types of penance. And one was faithful discharge of duties. And the second they mentioned was fasting and almsgiving. So even it's mentioned there. So austerity, you know, when we do all these vratas, we say, oh, it's Lord Krishna's birthday, so we want to do, or we want to do nirjala. Don't think it's all going in ways. Besides having health benefits, which obviously science has proved now, you also have something invaluable to gain. Eternal form of the Lord, Satchid Anand form. The form we see, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ji, you know, the form that Arjun saw in that verse where, you know, it, 1865, was it? 1864, that Manmana, no, 65, is it? Manmana Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. So in there, he's saying, you my dear friend. So that form that Lord Arjun saw, if we want to be gaining from it, we need to do some austerities. And austerities is can be of any sorts, but as long as the goal is to remember Krishna without any ulterior motive. We've all heard of Anya Bhilashita Shunyam. So as long as our motives are correct, as long as our intention for remembering the Lord and to achieve that goal is correct, we can't go wrong. And So then Sukhdev Goswami talks about, we've talked about the analogy, we've talked about the eternal form of the Lord Krishna. We talked about Lord Brahma's penance, and then we talked about the two different forms, because he then got the darshanam, like it says, darshanam, rupam, of the form which is distinct from that of material. So then the conclusion that this verse gives us in summary is that the living entities are encased in temporary variety of materialistic form, but then God isn't. And this difference can be understood by Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is performance of various things, and one of them, the one that's mentioned in here, is topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we all know, I know my son always loves to talk about Sankirtan Yajna, and obviously in this Yuga, it's, we know, it is, you know, it is the process of purifying our soul, our body, our mind. But at the same time, here it's mentioned that when you are actually reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then all your misconceptions can be, you can get rid of that. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam confirms it. The process, the process of perfection of knowledge is to surrender onto Him, because He is source of everything. Only in that conception can one get rid of misconception of I and mine. And then Srimad Bhagavatam confirms it. And we read this verse every time, you know, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki. So here we are actually saying that Srimad Bhagavatam, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of both the Lord and the living entity. And that regular reading and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of Bhakti Yoga. And one can attain the highest perfection simply by the association of Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what is difficult, like Srila Prabhupada, as we know, you know, he, what did he take with him when he left India to go? What was his possessions? Anyone? That's right. I wonder why. It states there as well in the second canto, isn't it? That is the only thing as well. That is also part of Bhakti Yoga. So as long as we can read that, we can understand that. Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Bhagwan Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki. So that's what we can do regularly. What else can we do? So we can actually make sure that, you know, Krishna Surya Saman, Maya Hai Andhakar, Jaha Krishna, Taha Nahi, Maya Adhikar. So if we want to be in light of knowledge of Krishna, what do we need to do? As long as we stay in the sunlight, the darkness can't affect us. The ignorance or the darkness will not affect us, or illusion or Maya. Because we know Srila Prabhupada, although so exalted, he actually started this program where all of us should be studying and getting purified by speaking or reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every single day. And then he said it, isn't it, that how he was keeping away from Maya regularly was by actually, even at finishing in the evening, paying his respects to Lordship to say, save him from Maya every single day. So what chance have we got if we don't do that? So we need to carry on being friends or with people who we can associate to learn something about these topics that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we want to succeed, we need to be able to carry on doing the chanting. Srila Prabhupada has given a foolproof way of, you know, feasting, chanting, associating. So ABC of the books, you know, association of the devotees, you know, reading his books. He went through penance, didn't he? He didn't need to travel in his, that old age, in the ship of all people, of all things, so rough, bearing like rough seas, to come here so that he can actually enlighten the people in West and all of us who did not pay heed to him when he was so-called not so successful in India. But we all know better. Was Srila Prabhupada less successful in India when he was not building temples? He was prepping up for lifetime, giving us all Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very successful then because he was actually following his instructions of his Guru Maharaj, right? And then when he comes here, you could see it in, and you can quantify it. Okay, he's established 108 temples and he's brought us this. He's written so many volumes for us. Keeping awake, again, penance on his body to give us all a chance to try and at least think about it, to try and apply that knowledge, the instructions that are there in books, which we would have never been able to make sense of had it not been in translated and made it easier for us to learn. So let's not try and turn away from the light of this. And if we need any assistance, we all know there is School of Bhakti, there is all of these great sannyasis, there's Maharaj, they have left their own families, they have given up their careers, again, willingly inflicting pain on themselves to make us all a big family, the whole world a big family. So let's just take advantage of this invaluable the facilities that we have now got, thanks to Srila Prabhupada. My Guru Maharaj also wanted to do that when he left this world in 2020. He knew in this COVID age, you know, like people were scared, they were staying indoors. Everybody told him he shouldn't. But what did he want to do? He wanted to preach Srila Prabhupada's mission by going there and assisting those a few people who were actually going out to hand out the prasadam. And I know, like, people say all sorts and people all have their own opinions and they're most welcome to it. But we know very well that what is your intention, what was Maharaj's intention, was to give Krishna consciousness in Florida, in, you know, the city where the illusion is, you know, everywhere that you can think of. People come so often. So that's it, you know. As long as we can be wary of the fact that no matter what we do in our life, like my son always says, I mentioned to you about, you know, Sankirtan Yajna, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nashti, Gati Aranyatha. So in this age, in this Yuga Dharma, that is the process of obtaining or associating and being with Krishna. And there is that there, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And that is the solution. So that if we want to summarize, get out of our misconceptions of thinking, I am this body, I have got Atma, and I'm perfect in myself. No, we're not. Because we have been given distinction. We have been given a standard that what is perfect. Someone who possesses Satchid Anand, then we know very well, if we want to try, and something is very difficult, and this process of Bhakti Yoga is very difficult, then so long we take shelter of Lord Krishna, we would be able to overcome it with Krishna's mercy, with Guru Maharaj's mercy, with Vaishnav's blessings and guidance. And I will just end with, you know, what this conclusion it gives us about Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18 that we recite every single day. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttam shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki. So anything that is in heart, which is inauspicious and is going to be stopping us from reaching our goal in life, or object of our life, by just reading Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service to Srimad Bhagavatam, we would be able to overcome it. So thank you all for listening to my ramblings. I'm not at all qualified to be sat here, but of course it's Guru Maharaj's mercy. And in fact, when I had a text from Ujeshwari Mataji, I texted and said to her, look, I've never given classes, so are you sure you are, you've got the right person, because I'm not the right person. She goes, no, Nishkinj Prabhu had said to me to contact. So our teachers, Param Karuna Prabhu, Navdeep Chandra Prabhu, our mentors, and all of those have made it possible for me to sit here and talk a little bit. And then I even thought then I should say no. Then I thought to myself, okay, it's Valentine's Day today, and it's my birthday yesterday, Valentine's Day today. Rajesh Krishna is going to be doing the service anyway. Why? Maybe it's a sign that Radha Gokulanandaji is giving me, so I've attempted to say little something. So please forgive me for all my shortcomings. And if you have any comments and questions, please feel free to speak and ask if there's any. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's interesting because I was just reading today's quote, and today's quote on Prabhupada is, we are trapped souls in a state of forgetfulness of Krishna, and Krishna is giving you the chance of now to reestablish your relationship with him by this chanting process. So take full advantage of it and be happy. So it's just interesting how he sums up the purport.
Yeah, that's it. This is it. We all feel scared all the time. Should I not? And I remember Shruti Dhamma Prabhu saying to me about 4 or 5 years ago that, are you into preaching and you should? And I said, I don't know as yet anything. And he said, what you have to do is just preach what you know. And Guru Maharaj, his instruction to me at the time when he was, one time was at Champalata Maharaj, Mataji's house, he asked me, you preach. And I just said at the time, no, Maharaj, Rajesh Krishna, we were doing Lakshmi Narayan Sangha. So I said, Maharaj, Rajesh Krishna is preaching and I just sing. So now that he's left the world, I just think to myself, and what was the direct instruction I've got from my spiritual master? What do I have to overcome to fulfill that? Look what Srila Prabhupada did in his that age. So I have mustered up guts to sit here and start my relationship with Shri Shri Radha Gokulanandaji. And yes, so any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the nice class, Mataji. Just had a quick question. Not sure it's a good question, but I was just wondering when it comes to performing austerity or tapasya, how can we find like the right balance? Because I think sometimes we only perform a little austerity and it's not enough to really purify us. And sometimes we might go too much that it has actually physical and mentally bad consequences. So like, what's the right balance when it comes to austerity?
So the right balance is all very important in all of our life, as we all know. And I think it's subjective to person. So we can see some people, like some devotees who start off, I mean, even give my previous mentor's name, Sri Radha Gokul, His Grace Radha Vinod Prabhuji. I remember on Janmashtami day, he would get up in the morning at 2, 3, or he might have been finishing late anyway. Then he'll get up, no water, no, you know, drink, no eating until, and he would carry on until 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. So that particular day, his balance is not there. But I think all of us have got a different set of responsibilities that we need to balance. For example, in my case, I work full time. So I know for my mortgage to be paid, I need to do that 7 or 8 hours or 10 hours shifts that I need to do. I need roof over my head. I need roof for my kids. I cannot be like, okay, I can leave work and then just be, you know. So there is that responsibility. But at the same time, it's a dry world. It's a world that we all know is not so kind. When you come here and you have darshan, half the problems are sorted. Then you are associating with devotees. So all their good qualities are being, you bouncing back ideas, you're associating with them, associating with good qualities. So when you are doing austerity or one seva that you're thinking, oh gosh, I've done 4 hours of this, I'm really tired. And then they say, that is fair enough. You need to listen to your yourself. Because we talk about mindfulness in even the world outside where I am. Anything you do, as long as we do with our senses and our mind. So when you're doing service, if you are fully tuned, right? So it's like when we do chanting. That is also that is the process of bhakti yoga too, isn't it? Because our association with Krishna is increasing. Provided we are actually hearing ourselves. Because we can't eat with eyes like Krishna can. When we offer, we have to hear to be able to then chant. So similarly, when we involve all our senses and we are absorbed in it, if you are doing service like that, then, and you're tired, then you need to give yourself a break. But then break doesn't mean necessarily, like say if you like my son, like I mentioned, he loves singing, you know, Aindras and all these youngsters like to do kirtan. But you can't do it for 48 hours, 36 hours, you know, constantly. One has to take a break. So you also need to take a break. And you need to think for yourself, I need to listen to my body. But then, at the same time, as long as we are then absorbed in doing another service, so say we are eating, or say we need to hear, as long as we are still absorbed in the glories of Krishna, the form of Krishna, and we are involving our body, mind, words in Krishna somehow or the other and linking it to every single thing that we are trying to do in this life, then that's it. Then that's, it may feel sometimes, but if you take that change, change is as good as rest. So perhaps you can take a little bit of a change and then come back to it and assess for your own self. Something that might be okay for me, say, singing for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, might be too much of an effort for somebody who's not used to it. So I think it's very subjective, but you need to understand that you as a person are a devotee of Krishna. And besides your responsibility to look after everyone else, you have to look after number one. Because if you're not all there and you're not tired, how are you going to be looked after? Like my dad always says to me, Purushottam Das, my dad, he always says, if you're a mother and you don't look after yourself, you tell me how you're going to be able to look after your children and family and your husband. So number one, because you're also a devotee of Krishna, so why shouldn't you be merciful to yourself? If you feel that you're going to then taking it to the ignorance or thinking, I want to be in mode of ignorance by just sleeping all day or anything like that, then you know it. I think we are all very clued up. So we know where we want to go into laziness or where we want to do service. We want to do good service with all our senses in it. So yeah, I think there is no such answer, but balance definitely is, like you pointed out, is very important, and you need to assess it yourself and mitigate those risks by doing something else. Yeah? Anything else? Okay. One last question then, or? Okay, 8:30.
Hare Krishna. It was just what you said about your job. It's interesting because there's one side where you have to do certain things that you, I don't know if you love your job, like if it's interesting for you. But for a lot of people, perhaps it's just something they have to do. But on the other hand, we're always striving to, of course, remain in light and also, like you said, be merciful towards ourselves. And that you, for that, you kind of need enthusiasm. You need to cultivate the side of life where that enthuses you and that kind of keeps you connected. So what is the tattva within that? Within that, like how, and you know, like, why would you end up in a situation? Why would you let yourself, I mean, just you end up in a situation where it's just like, I don't like this job and I don't like anything and it just annoys you and then you have to do it.
Well, this is it, you know, there are a lot of things that in life annoys you, and there's a lot of things that you would like to change, but you may be in a situation where you're not able to change that particular thing. But then, I mean, if you're doing a boring job or if you're doing something which is monotonous and you have to do it because you think you have to, you know, fulfill your obligations of being like, I was a mother before I became a devotee. I was a wife before I became a devotee. I mean, there's people who are born into Krishna consciousness. Things might be different for them. So I personally think that even if I find it boring and mind-numbing, although my job is quite varied, so it keeps you awake, but one has to, like somebody might say to you, like, you know, Pujari is doing the same old thing. It's boring, right?
Well, that's different. That's not material.
But why? If somebody who is not into it might perceive that as very monotonous and boring. But I think it's all about controlling your sense. We talked, I think, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu, or I think Nishkinj Prabhu yesterday talked about Goswami and Godas. So anything in life that as long as you can be a good judge of character, as long as you can be a good judge of as to what your intentions are for doing this, if you are doing a boring job only to bring some Lakshmi in to look after your Vaishnav family or to give to temple or to give to any of these chores that, you know, the pious activities, then it's okay because your intention is not to accumulate wealth for yourself. Your intention is to try and do that. And how you get over that boring thing is by controlling your senses. Everything and anything is, again, one person might find this is the best service, The other person might think Go Seva is the best service, right? The other person might think car parking duties are the best. The person who has to wash his dishes, they be like, oh gosh, why do I have to do this all the time? You know, it's how interesting is this? How challenging is this? But it's all in the mind. If you are thinking of that service, even though it's repetitive, even if it's something that you don't want to do as a service to Krishna, then you can overcome any of your thoughts in that sense. Sorry. Am I allowed to carry on, Prabhu? It's 8:35.
Just make one comment.
Of course, and then Prayojana Prabhu, and then we finish it off.
I just read recently that even doing our material, so-called material duties, even if someone is to do their material duties, but it's to keep body and soul together so that they can chant the holy name, that is Nam Seva.
Absolutely.
But I think Bhaktisiddhanta was saying that.
Yes, of course.
Give a perspective of... So, of course, we don't want to overwork, but we have to do enough to keep body and soul together so that we can actually perform our bhakti.
Yes.
So that's considered Nam Seva.
Nam Seva, that's it. And that is Yuga Dharma, isn't it? Like, they take this... Chanting the holy names of the Lord is the biggest way to progress. Yeah.
So,
you know?
I mean, the other side is you don't do your work, and then you go around taking advantage of other people working, and then that's not Nam Seva.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a mentality that's there.
Okay.
That has to be fostered.
Thank you. And lastly, Prayojana Prabhu ki jai. I mean, he does all these services that nobody probably wants to ever do in Mana, right? He is epitome of, you know, again, service in that mood. I see him, he's listening to lectures. He makes it all, anything that's boring, if you're listening about Krishna, if you're thinking about Krishna, it all becomes, you become enlivened with, your mind becomes enlivened. Go on, Prabhuji.
Yeah, the thing that occurred to me is that Prabhupada had a wonderful explanation of knowing whatever you're doing, it's significant. And that it's from Krishna. You have to see that Krishna's behind this. And the wonderful saying that he said, it's in the transcendental calendar, it's December 19th. It's a comment about surrendering to Krishna. But we have to see that he's there. That actually, he says, the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing.
Exactly.
So let me do it with my full attention. No matter what it is, let all other considerations just be forgotten. And then it says, let me become absorbed in that service. And then he says, let all other considerations be forgotten, and my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure.
That's it, Krishna Prem. So
whatever you're doing, it's not by chance. Krishna gave me that service. It's not by chance that we are doing things that we don't want to do. Krishna gave it to you, and it builds character. Our character becomes strong.
That's it.
And that's what Krishna wants us to grow up, not be children and do what we want. He wants us to build our characters up that is perfect for him, for his sake. So whatever you got to do it with your full attention. No matter what
Krishna.
It is, don't think about yourself.
Sure. Thank you so much. And the last two verses, Hride antastuhi abhadrani vidunoti suhritan sadam satam. It's because our body, our mind, no matter what we're doing, as long as we're doing with consciousness of Krishna, it's cleansing it. So then we are going nearer to Krishna in bhakti yoga. So thank you all very much, and thank you for listening. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai.